Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomer Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our fifth installment on Megillas Esther. We now are at the point of the story where Haman is elevated to prominence in Ahasuerus's court. It's very interesting. A number of Mefarshim point out the possibility that the reason why Haman received this prominent position, ironically, is because he was Memuchan. It's a name used earlier in the Megillah, and it was his idea to kill Vashti. And who became queen because Vashti was killed? Esther. So this is Ahasuerus's way of paying honor to Esther to make Haman the second most powerful man in the kingdom. Quite an ironic twist. The Maral raises an interesting point. A number of Midrashim speak to the fact that Mordechai, before this Purim story got going, Mordechai, as a prominent leader of the Jewish people, had been trying to convince Ahasuerus to assist in the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, the second temple in Israel. Of course, a later monarch in this kingdom was essential in the building of the second temple. Mordechai was trying to encourage Ahasuerus on this project, of course, to be built in Jerusalem. And Haman really blocked the project. So the Maral points out, one could ask, where was Haman's punishment for blocking the building of the Beis HaMikdash? And the Maral suggests that imagine what would have happened. Everything would have been behind the scenes. God, of course, would have known that Haman blocked the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say he would have paid Haman a terrible punishment for discouraging such a wonderful project. No one would have known the difference. No one would have understood. Instead, God gave Haman the opportunity to rise to prominence and in a very public way plan and plot the demise of God's chosen nation. And then, when Haman himself suffered a terrible demise, it became obvious to anyone who looked at the world through the possibility of God's intervention that God was punishing this wicked man for doing his wicked deeds. So it's such an interesting mussar. Again, we'll never understand why God punishes when he punishes and rewards when he rewards and who he does this for and who he does that for. We'll never understand it. But just a little snippet, it's so inspiring. How many times do we see wicked people doing things and we ask ourselves, how can they be allowed to do such things? In the end of the day, sometimes there's a broader plan, and sometimes the plan is to give them an even greater fall. That's the interesting thing to think about. Moving ahead in the story, Haman comes to Ahasuerus and says there's a nation that he wants to destroy. There is a tremendous amount of discussion among the commentators regarding what level knowledge Ahasuerus had in Haman's designs. Some commentators paint Ahasuerus as being a tipesh, really a fool, and I'm somewhat partial to them. I played Ahasuerus in a school Purim play, I think when I was first, second grade, and I was excellent at wandering around the stage in a little bit of a buffoonish type of mode. So I'm sure many of you can imagine that. That's one approach, but there is another approach in the commentators that Ahasuerus was brilliant, cold, calculating, and he was in with Haman's plan all the way. The Malbim takes somewhat of a middle road, and the Malbim suggests that though Ahasuerus was no great lover of the Jewish people, he didn't necessarily understand what Haman was getting at. We've already said the Malbim paints Ahasuerus as being a very calculating ruler. So it's very interesting when Haman makes the pitch to Ahasuerus to destroy this nation, he doesn't refer to them by name. He just says there's a nation that's spread among the nations that doesn't serve the king properly. The Balaam suggests that the Jews were known as a very wise, intelligent people that, as we know, through other times in our history, probably moved commerce and developments along very nicely in this nation. So Ahasuerus might not have been so excited about eradicating the Jews from his nation. So therefore, Haman doesn't refer to them by name. He just says there's a nation because he's scared if he mentions the Jews, Ahasuerus might block it. We'll talk about this more next time, God willing, but the Malbim has another few comments about the way in which Haman plotted to get Ahasuerus to agree to the annihilation of the Jewish people. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.